This podcast was recorded Thursday, May 8th at 10:20 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like now that President Trump wants to reopen Alcatraz as a prison, Governor DeWine will move to reopen the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield. Like Alcatraz, it's an old prison that has become a tourist attraction, thanks to it serving as the set for the classic movie, The Shawshank Redemption. Get busy living, or get busy dying, or we can get busy talking politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who perhaps decide to reopen old prisons after seeing an old movie on TV. I'm Mike Thompson. You know, as conspiracy theories go, this one is especially rich. The night before President Trump made his Alcatraz announcement, the classic Clint Eastwood film, Escape from Alcatraz, was on TV in South Florida, where the president was staying that night. It gets better. The station, the TV station that aired the old movie, the local PBS station. I wonder if he's a sustaining member. Anyway, coming up in the podcast, Vivek Ramaswamy endorses the work of Dave Yost. But first, last week we dove into the new Bowling Green State University poll that shows Ohioans are getting a little antsy with how the president is handling his second term. The poll shows that President Trump's approval rating stands at 47%. That's down 7 points from Bowling Green's February poll. And it is economic uncertainty driving the numbers. The tariffs are one good example. More than half of Ohioans surveyed expect the tariffs to hurt them, and only 25% say the tariffs will help them. We turn to a panel of experts to break down the poll. They are Democratic strategist Brian Rothenberg, Republican strategist Mark Weaver, and State House reporters Sarah Donaldson from Ohio Public Radio and Andrew Tobias of Signal Statewide. Andrew Tobias, this poll mirrors national polls that we're seeing. Does anything jump out at you?
It's interesting. I think that there's sort of Trump's hardcore base of support. It's been enough to get him to help him win Ohio 3 times. But there is an element of voters who aren't with him, you know, no matter what. And you see some of those people being concerned about, you know, whether it's like their stock market portfolio dropping or prices not dropping as much as they'd want. So I think that it's worth watching this because I don't assume all Trump voters are just Trump voters forever, and especially young people, minorities, and some of the groups that helped him win the popular vote this year.
Sarah, independents, there was some erosion there in his support of in approval rating anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, I think going back to tariffs, they were a question even recently in Chillicothe, where it was announced that this paper mill is going to be closing now in December. Of course, Senator Bernie Moreno was asked if tariffs played a role in this, and he rebuffed that idea. It's not clear if that's why this private equity firm wants to shut this plant down. But if you see continuous effects of tariffs, that may continue to make people wary if they are negative effects.
Mark, Donald Trump has been a disruptor. He's done a lot of things in his first 100 days. People do not like change. Is this just a reflection of people not liking the change, at least not yet?
It's a fair question. I've looked at a lot of polls, thousands of polls in my career. I looked at this one. It's a little oversampled on women and college grads, but it's not well out of line with national polls. I think it leans a little left. But your larger point, I think, is correct. He had political capital coming out of a pretty decisive win in the election, and he's been spending it like we've never seen a president spend their political capital to get things done. And so when a president spends political capital, their polls take an effect until the results of the seeds they planted bear fruit, and that has not happened yet.
Brian, how long do you, the Democrats, view this poll? Perhaps optimistically, but it is very, very early.
It's very early, but also remember the economic indicators are always about 3 months behind. So you're not going to see the full effects of the tariff for another 3 months. So the capital that you're seeing is just the bombast and the chaos. You're going to start to see the effect of the tariffs in another 3 months or so. Chaos, eventful 100 days, changing just about everything. Including, I don't know if he got his interior decorator from Saddam Hussein or what for the Oval Office with all that gold, but he has changed things. I'm just not sure people are really tying into this.
The tariffs have had the main impact so far on the tariffs has been on the stock market because of the uncertainty. I don't think people have really felt increasing prices per se yet, Andrew. I mean, companies haven't, they've seen some things on the edges, but it's more fear of the uncertainty with tariffs, correct?
Yeah, I've been following some of the stuff with the closing the loophole for $800 or less imports from China. That's how people can buy things from websites like Temu. I don't really shop on those sites, but I've been reading about a lot of people do. I'm wondering if that's going to have an effect. But yeah, I mean, if it's, I think if it's really going to be something that kind of sinks down to normal people, it's going to be if some of the hesitancy that businesses have had because of the questions about what the tariffs will do, if that translates to, you know, job contractions and things like that. That's really how I what I look at it for. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I think we have to look for those kinds of like real changes in the economy to have an effect.
I've talked to a guy, a gentleman here who runs it's a gaming company, like board games and stuff like that. He had to order as much as he could ahead of time before this happened and pay the 20%. Now, most of that industry is in fear because they do their buying 6 months in advance. So whatever happens here, even if he backs away, it's going to have an effect for the next 6 to 9 months.
66% of the respondents thought that tariffs are going to help large corporations or the very wealthy, Mark. Is that a worrisome point for Republicans?
Yeah, people don't typically understand tariffs, but they read the papers, and we see a lot of commentary about that. Polls suggest that people are in favor of significant tariffs on China, where so much of our goods come from. And in 2020, we all were shocked to learn how much of our medical supplies and medicine came from China. A lot of us were worried about that. So the change from cheap stuff from China to stuff being born in America is going to be disruptive at first. But in the long run, people are going to prefer to have their products made here.
Sarah, only 3% of those polled, despite all we've talked about here, the uncertainty and the economic, you know, issues and the tariffs and the bombast, only 3% regret their vote, though.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a hyper-partisan environment where people were voting for one candidate or they were voting for another candidate. I think there are fewer and fewer undecided independents in the way that there were maybe 10 or 20 years ago. I mean, of course, that's a little anecdotal, but we're in a hyper-partisan environment, and I think it would take a lot for people who are, like Andrew said, strong, ardent Trump supporters to suddenly go back on that.
Yeah, and also, a vote is a choice between candidates. If you want to look at Trump's approval rating in Ohio, I wonder what the Democratic Party's approval rating
well,
is, too.
They pulled it. It was at that or lower, yeah. Biden and Kamala Harris. But 8% of independents, Brian, right, regret their vote. So those are folks maybe who voted for Trump because they didn't like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
Those are the things you watch. You watch how it's affecting independent voters. You watch people on the margins and how it's moving some of those folks, people that didn't show up and vote, actually, which was a significant issue for Democrats. Yeah, he had capital, but that capital has, you know, 100 days has plummeted. And even Governor DeWine's numbers in these polls, which we'll get to on the Ohio stuff, are down. And it's got to be that effect.
So, Mark, when do campaigns, politicians, elected officials, when do they start to really look at the polls? A 100-day poll is really, it's very early. But is it like midway through their term, first after the first year of their term? When do folks really start to pay attention to how they're doing?
Well, the candidates themselves love polls. It's the crack cocaine of the political industry. They want to see how they're doing. But for the purposes of the upcoming midterm election, we will start looking in January and February during filing deadline. Because if President Trump really is in trouble, you will see better Democrat candidates moving forward to run. And if he's not, you'll see worse. And as a result, the House is more likely to stay Republican.
How does this affect lawmaking in Washington? If you're a congressperson who is in a purple district or a Republican congressman in a purple district.
Well, there's going to be a tipping point at some point. I will say this, the retribution fear with the Trump White House has held his party in check because he uses that, you know, social media as a bully pulpit. But at some point, if this starts to erode, I mean, they have to get through a primary too, but they got to worry about getting elected in a general. You're going to see some people shift. You already saw it a little bit with Hegseth.
All right, the Bowling Green poll also took a look at candidates and possible candidates for Ohio governor next year. Of the Republicans running or possibly running for governor, businessman Vivek Ramaswamy leads with 64% support. That's a lot more than Lieutenant Governor Jim Tressel, who may or may not run. He's at 14%. Attorney General Dave Yost is at 13%, and businesswoman Heather Hill is at 4%. On the Democratic side, Sherrod Brown, who has not said if he wants the job, is at 59%. Former Health Director Amy Acton is at 20%, and former Congressman Tim Ryan is at 16%. He, too, is not yet a candidate for governor in 26. Brian Rothenberg, again, early and...
Very early.
These candidates, we don't even know if they're running. What takeaways do you have from this?
Well, you see anecdotal things. I mean, you see between Vivek Ramaswamy and in the head-to-heads, you see that Amy Acton is doing pretty well against Yost and some of the incumbents. Between her and Vivek, it's like 5 points, which is within the margin, but she's largely unknown. She's got a 49% unknown factors, which means that as people get to know her, if she defines herself well, she's got a good shot. What you're seeing, I think, is a general pullback from traditional names. People want new faces, they seem to be saying right now. And I think it's reflected in the polls.
Would you agree with that, Mark, that people want new faces?
The Democrats don't have a candidate nationally or here in Ohio. If Sherrod Brown chooses not to run again, the Democrats have almost no chance of winning anything. Jennifer Bruner might leave the Supreme Court. She has a little bit of a history. But a lot of people on the Democrats are hoping that Sherrod Brown will run again. He's kind of like the Clint Eastwood of the Democratic Party. He has done well at the box office before, but he's at the end of his career, and they'd like to see one more blockbuster film from him. The question is, does he run?
Sarah, Amy Acton and Jim Tressel, like roughly 50% of voters surveyed say they don't know enough. Now, they know who these people are. Amy Acton, the former health director, high profile during COVID. Jim Tressel, of course, former coach of OSU. It's just they don't know their politics, right?
Sure. And I think there's something to be said, especially in Tressel's case, that he is not declared. He hasn't said he's running. So it's not like there are ads up in the way you're already seeing ads for Vivek Ramaswamy. You have seen, I think, in the Republican Party, especially among elected officials here in Ohio, really coalescing around Ramaswamy and really encouraging almost this idea of unity in the Republican Party. So that signals to me that there may be some, at least, concern about Tressel jumping in, but it's obviously too early to tell.
Dave Yost can't be happy with these numbers, right, Andrew?
He sees them just like we do. I mean, I take polls in Ohio with a grain of salt. I've seen it over and over again where they don't completely capture what's going on. But when you're talking about a 50-point, that's, we don't really need precise instruments to measure that. So I know people talk about whether Yost might drop out. When I've thought about it, I don't know that he wants to do anything else. I could see him running to the bitter end, but we'll see what happens.
In the hypothetical matchups, Brian, you mentioned them, the Republicans win them all. It just still shows you we're a Republican state.
At this point, but I also think that it's very narrow among in the governor's race, specifically with Amy Acton. And I think if you look at the amount of money she's raised, she raised $100,000 in April alone, which they just announced. She raised $600,000 before that. I mean, it's been a long time since a non-incumbent Democrat running for governor has been able to raise $700,000. I know some candidates that never even got there.
Mark, what about, back when Mike DeWine first won the governor's race, he teamed up with John Husted. John Husted bowed out, took the lieutenant governor spot. Do you see that happening on the Democratic side? Say Sherrod Brown runs for governor, Amy Acton does lieutenant governor, or maybe Tim Ryan, someone with a more experienced politician brings on a newer face.
It makes sense. It was a great situation for Mike DeWine and John Husted because I was advising Mike DeWine. He's been a client over the years, and many of us in DeWine world were worried about a Husted-DeWine primary, not that Mike would lose, but that it would spend a lot of money. And so if Sherrod Brown could get together with one of those two candidates, it would help. But again, it comes back to whether Sherrod Brown has much left in him, and this party has changed as he's grown older. I'm sorry, the state has changed. As he's grown older, the state has grown redder. And so as a result, he's unlikely to run, I think.
It really comes down to, too, also, the popularity of Donald Trump, right? Because if Vivek Ramaswamy has tied himself to Donald Trump, if Donald Trump's approval ratings continue to sink, if these tariffs do have bad effects and we go into a recession, that's going to give Dave Yost, Jim Tressel, more hope.
Yeah, and not to shift too much, but I asked Senator John Husted about that because, of course, right now his race for Senate in 2026 seems to be a one-man race, and Sherrod Brown could be running in that race as well. We don't want to discount him from running for Senate. Husted told me Donald Trump is one of the most popular presidents in modern history, and I don't think that will change very much. Trump has endured as a positive brand in this state. You talk about, you know, his first 100 days. Trump has been running for president now, or president, serving as president now since I was 16 years old. So he has, you know, been around for a while, and it's going to be tough to say.
But I would point out that Donald Trump won this state by a lot, and that lead for Ramaswamy is only at 5 points. So it's shrunk quite a bit already.
We have a long way to go, still a long way to go. The primary is just about a year away. That was Democratic strategist Brian Rothenberg, Republican strategist Mark Weaver, and State House reporters Sarah Donaldson of Ohio Public Radio and Andrew Tobias of Signal Statewide. We'll be right back.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you were going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money Podcast from NPR.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past week. You know, Dave Yost has had a tough couple of weeks. That Bowling Green poll shows the attorney general badly trailing businessman Vivek Ramaswamy in the Republican race for Ohio governor. And then the news outlet Notice reported that President Trump offered Yost the job of ambassador to Cyprus. It's a good gig, and it would clear the nomination path for Ramaswamy. Yost responded on X, writing that it was more distractions from my opponent, and he promised to stay in the race until Election Day. So, not exactly a denial, but he blamed Ramaswamy for it. But the good news for Yost is he has a new book out. His memoir is titled Stand, An Ohio Life. Pretty standard stuff. But if you look at the cover, right above the title is a quote that reads, "Dave Yost fought against the woke and won." Signed, Vivek Ramaswamy, co-director of the Department of Government Efficiency. That is some pretty clever trolling and pretty clever marketing, and easily earns Dave Yost our Snollygoster of the Week award. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, try to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. It helps boost listening. And just tell your friends about us. That would be helpful as well. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.